Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and it's a beautiful day here in Trevose, Pennsylvania, isn't it, Andy Cohen?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful out. No more flooding. We don't need any
Hopefully.
More flooding.
It's sunny and in the 80s, and which is a little hot for the Andy Cohen comfort zone.
Yeah, we're moving to fall, so let's hit the 60s. How about that?
The end of the week.
Nice. All right.
Friday.
Besides
Friday?
Captain right. Killjoy in the office, we've got Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor.
Yeah.
Joe oh, just flexed.
Wow.
And, then made
Joe,
some sort
you are
of
ready to go.
I am.
Noise.
All right.
Ready, willing, and able.
We'd like to also welcome Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource. Who is, are you tweeting right now?
I am tweeting. I'm tweeting about our show.
Like a madman.
What are you saying?
That we're live on the air. We're going to be talking about fun topics, fun and informative topics.
Ooh. Well, if you want to talk to Michelle, call us today.
The Honey Badger.
Call us now at 215-953-4979. Right,
that's
Andy?
My new nickname, yeah. The Honey Badger.
Joe, I don't even want to know where that came from.
Kathy Houston, I saw you in a bar this weekend. How did you?
And I saw you.
Yeah. I see Kathy more in bars than at work.
Was she upright? Was she upright?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I was totally sober.
She was very cheerful. Mm-hmm. She'd just come from a non-drinking dinner.
That's right.
And you rushed to the bar. You rushed to the bar.
She did. Happy to have you here.
Thank
Vinnie
you.
Vinnie Driscoll's going to be answering your phone calls, 215-953-4979. Today's topic is how to build a financial cushion for your business. So if you want to talk money, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, Joe, what are we going to give you today?
How about a $25 Visa gift card?
How about it?
How about it? Yeah.
Craig Veltri, of course, is manning our very important tech booth, so any sound effects you hear will be courtesy of Craig. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show today?
All right. Well, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a hurricane. We've had an earthquake.
We've had
floods.
Yeah.
We've had tornadoes.
Locusts.
We've had everything. So Andy has three steps to a disaster recovery plan for your business. And people in this area are going to need to listen up for that. Are your sales conversations telling the right story, Kathy?
I don't think mine are.
Okay, well, you're going to tell everyone how to get their sales stories.
To tell the right story.
All right. We have five old school jobs that are back in vogue. And I have a look at what those are. The new rules for business marketing. Michelle's got a look at that. We have our favorite things, among other things. But let's start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Let's go, Andy.
Thank you, guys. We begin this morning with supplier acquisition news in its second acquisition. Wow. In the last 13 months, Fields Manufacturing has purchased the assets of fellow supplier Target Industries. Target will continue to operate out of its location in Owosso, Michigan, and will maintain a separate catalog and customer service group. Target's owner, Jim Greason, has been retained as a consultant and will also serve on the Fields board for 6 years. More supplier news now. Top 40 supplier Gemline has signed an agreement to be the exclusive provider of Brookstone products in the ad specialty market. The popular retailer with 300 stores in North America will now sell select items in the industry through Gemline. The deal is effective immediately, and Gemline says it will begin selling Brookstone items in its 2011 holiday gift line. On to legislative news now. A councilman in Los Angeles has proposed a law that would ban plastic and paper bags from being given out in retail stores and groceries. Under the proposal, stores in LA would only be able to sell or give away reusable shopping bags. This is the largest city to consider such a ban on bags. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
We have the helmet beanie.
I can't wait to see that.
I can't
the
even
helmet
imagine what
beanie.
That might
no, they're
be.
Actually,
as long as you're wearing it, I'm watching.
Are you wearing it? Do you wear it in the episode of this Joe Show?
You will have to watch.
I'm guessing yes.
You will have to watch and find out.
Do you wear the hamburger club cover
that's
that we
have?
That's
a club cover. I'm not a club.
All right, moving on. Thank you very much, Andy and Joe. We are going to start taking calls. Today's question, how to build a financial cushion for your business. Of course, it's always important to have good cash flow at your company. If you have any questions or advice related to this topic or any other topic that's on your mind, call us at 215-953-4979. If we put you on there, we'll give you a Visa gift card. On line one this morning, we have Angela. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Do you have a question?
I do. I'm a little bit worried, so I'm hoping you guys can give me some advice. I'm a distributor, and I have a competitor who was working mostly in the pharmaceutical industry. And a few years ago, when all the new regulations came out limiting the use of ad specialties, her book basically just dried up. So I'm wondering how I can protect myself from running into that same situation.
Andy Cohen.
As far as pharmaceutical clients or other sector clients?
It can be any sector, just, you know, not being in the position to have my book just run out like that.
Well, we talk a lot on this show about diversifying your business as much as possible, and I think that, you know, without knowing exactly who you're targeting, I think that's probably the effort you need to make. You know, you don't want to have, like your competitor had, many clients in one sector. You know, certainly I don't think anybody envisioned that the pharmaceutical marketing rules were exactly going to come down like they did, but that competitor would have been smart to be a little bit more diversified. You know, if their focus was healthcare, then, you know, maybe they could go to other branches of the healthcare sector as opposed to just pharmaceutical. So I would suggest that you really take a hard look at your business, analyze the sectors and the markets that you're targeting, and make sure that not too much of a percentage of your revenue comes from any one sector. I would suggest that you know, you don't want more than a fifth, say 20% of your revenue coming from any one business sector, so that you can protect yourself against that sort of thing.
Having advantages, I think you did an article recently on, you know, if you're in one market, right, what is the natural segue?
Yeah, I was going to say, Andy made a good point. He said if you're in pharmaceutical market, why couldn't that competitor branch out to other healthcare facilities, mm-hmm. hospice, senior you know, assisted living,
long-term care,
all that kind of stuff.
Which
I mean, what's so, yeah, as Andy said, diversify your portfolio, definitely, and also think of complementary or vertical industries you could go into.
You know, it's really hard because I knew a distributor based out of New York who did $2.5 million just herself in pharmaceutical mm-hmm. sales. And when that industry mm-hmm. dried up, she was so heavily invested in that market and so kind of myopic in that one area yeah. that she took a huge hit. Mm-hmm. So while she certainly has the ability to go into other markets, she just wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah, I know it's hard for many distributors when business is coming in, you know, and you're not fighting the fact that business is coming in and it happens to be one mm-hmm. sector. But I would say that that you need to spend some time trying to diversify, you know,
but
as much as possible.
But let's circle back to pharmaceutical, because we know distributors right now who are making good money in pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. They've just had to change their whole selling approach mm-hmm. and the products they sell. But, I mean, Andy, you've profiled people who are having success right now in that market. So I wouldn't consider that a dead market by any means.
Right? No, it's certainly not. They're not buying. They're just not buying the traditional products that they had spent millions on before. You know, you're not going to be able to walk into a pharmaceutical company and just sell pens, you know, that they can randomly hand out to doctors. That's not what, or notepads, things like that. They need to be a little bit more educational, mm-hmm. need to carry information about drugs that they make or research that they're doing. They need to have some sort
kits.
Of information and educational quality to them. And there's a lot of products out there that do that for sure and that are used in the promotional industry.
Yeah, because suppliers have adapted too mm-hmm. to the new
sure,
regulations
absolutely.
And
they
put
totally
out
have.
New
I know,
products.
Like journals and portfolios and things where patients have to take notes on their care and things like that are very popular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing this week is a perfect healthcare product.
Oh, I can't wait.
Up, stay tuned for Andy's favorite product. All right, well, Angela, I hope that gives you some ideas. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. It's not too late to call us at 215-953-4979. Tell us on what's your mind, especially about all things financial. On line two, we have Roy. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure. Roy, what's your question?
Well, I'm also calling to ask about developing a safety net. You know, I think like a lot of distributors, I have a few major accounts, and I, even though I'm trying to diversify, you know, I worry that if I lose a few big accounts, my company is going to go under. So besides trying to diversify, what can I do to build that financial cushion?
I would say you can go deeper within clients. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're invested in certain clients, then you know, to diversify the touch points you have with those clients, I think would help. So you're not just, you know, if one person leaves, you don't suddenly lose that client. So that's one way. Otherwise, I would say you want to target some of the hot industries. You know, look at education, look at healthcare if you're not in there already. You know, some of these sectors that are buying promotional products at big rates. Could be a place, you know, initial places to go to diversify your business a little bit.
And on that note, we also have an article coming out in October, Advantages.
Advantages to the rescue.
Advantages is all over this topic.
All it over. Is. One company, 12 buyers, big bucks. So there you go. There's lots of avenues within your one client company where, you know, you might not have thought of HR, purchasing department, accounting,
IT,
legal,
we even
IT.
IT can be big buyers.
Yeah, marketing, sales. You have to... There's a lot of people for you to reach out to.
One of the things I would say would be to expand your product and service offering. Some of the companies we had visited on the Best Places to Work Road Tour actually do more than just providing logoed products. It's the services, the warehousing,
well, yeah,
and the fulfillment and stuff. You know, so if you're not doing that, it's something you might want to consider offering those services and being more of a value to your clients mm-hmm. that you're already working with.
Yeah, I think, Roy, what Joe is getting at there is a very smart perspective in the sense that you want different channels that you can derive revenue from. So if you're just getting it from the promotional products channel, then maybe you can expand that to other marketing services that are easy expansions that you can talk to your clients about. So you're selling more than just promotional products, and you're becoming more of a resource for them than you may have been previously.
I've seen a lot of distributors get into event planning lately.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
and they're
getting hot.
Website
again.
Design
you're right.
is also big as well.
Yep.
I think there are creative ways, though, that you can build a financial cushion. For example, I remember there was one supplier who had an energy efficiency expert come into his company, and just by making a few little tweaks, he saved 20% in his electric bill and his energy bill, mm-hmm. which allowed him to have more resources to put mm-hmm. you know, in other areas of the company. So there's definitely different ways you can look around and save.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks very much for calling, Roy, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Tell us what you're doing to diversify your business and build a financial cushion. Call us at 215-953-4979. We have Bob on line one. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you folks?
Good.
Good. How are you doing?
Great.
Bob, what are you doing to diversify these days?
Well, the simplest thing is I belong to several networking groups. Mm-hmm. And the premise is that you have one person in each profession or category. Categories are pretty much unlimited, and by nature that group has one person in each field, and what I found is you automatically get diversified when you start working with these individuals that are members. But the best part is they know other people that you can call on that may be in their same field or their same office, for example a realtor or an insurance company that might need promotional products. So it's a great referral source, and you automatically get diversified because you're getting referrals from all different types of businesses.
It's a great idea. I think we talk a lot on this show about how, you know, from everything we've seen, a lot of salespeople do not ask for referrals and have a real robust referral system in place. So that's a really a good one. Thanks very much for calling, Bob.
You're welcome.
Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And on line three, we have Stanley. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I had a question on how much of an operating budget in my promotional product distributorship should I be spending on self-promotion? What's appropriate and what's too little?
Michelle Bill, you always yes. give people a rule of thumb for that.
Michelle's
don't
our self-promotion queen.
Guru.
I am. I would probably say more than most people do. But I think you should do one a quarter, Stanley. And as far as how much to spend, I mean, you know, for a really good one, you could do a good one between $500 and $1,000, depending on how many people you want to send it to. So I don't know if I can give you a percentage.
Your good suppliers could totally help you out.
They could totally hook you up, especially now at the end of the year because they want to get rid of their inventory for new mm-hmm. products coming in. I don't know if I could speak to a percentage of how much you make as far as what you should spend, but I think that that's a good rule of thumb. I've seen great self-promotions done for, you know, like I said, between $500 and $1,000 per quarter. You could get amazing results.
And you think every quarter?
Every quarter, once a quarter for sure.
Gotcha.
And who did you say to check with?
Oh, you said check with your supply partners, your best suppliers, because
okay.
a lot of them, you know, right now are more willing than ever to help you out.
And, you know, Stanley, I've met you, so I know you're a creative guy, but you know who could give you really good advice? The people at The Chest, they work with a lot of distributors on amazing self-promotion pieces, so they could certainly guide you with some ideas.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, thanks for calling, Stanley, and stay online for your Visa gift card. It's not too late to give us a call today, 215-953-4979. We're going to pause for a message from one of today's show sponsors, I Promote You, and when we return, Andy's going to tell us how to avoid disaster. Wow, that's exciting.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-857-3370 or email opportunities at iPromoteU.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday morning show. In a moment, Andy's going to give us some tips for avoiding disaster. I can't wait to hear those. First of all, though, Michelle Bell, we have a very exciting event going on tomorrow. It's ASI's, what promises to be ASI's biggest virtual trade show ever. Is that right?
That is true. It's our largest virtual trade show to date. It's from 10 to 3 tomorrow. You can log in today. So
10 to 3 Eastern Standard.
Eastern Standard Time. You can log in today, so you'll be ready to go tomorrow. And you want to go to www.asicentral.com/VTS. And there will be a ton of new and exciting exhibitors showing their stuff. Lots of new exhibitors. We always get a good crowd. We will be doing a special radio show tomorrow at 10:30. So yep. We'll be ready there. So it should be great.
And for people who haven't attended before, you can go in, you can chat live with suppliers. They can, they have videos and things like that, so they can share product information with you. There's an education booth. You can go and listen to webinars, take online learning courses. Oh, and Kathy's favorite thing is the networking lounge.
Yes, I love it.
Yes, you can go and network with all the other thousands
of
distributors who are going to be there on the trade show floor.
It's true. I think one of the most things that I've always heard is the most easiest and most convenient is that you can get catalogs and samples and virtual samples. You can just get everything that you need dealt with on the spot. You can have things sent to you. You have a virtual briefcase that they can fill things. Each exhibitor can put things in your virtual briefcase. So by the end of the day, without ever leaving your home, you have all the information you need from those exhibitors.
All right, so check us out. What's the URL, Michelle?
It's www.asicentral.com/VTS.
All right, we're going to go to the phones again. We have a caller on line one. Good morning, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. You had a question?
Well, actually, I was just going back to that whole financial safety net and diversifying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it sounds like you may have moved on a little bit.
All right.
But with our company, sometimes we've had good contacts with people and thought, this is going to be great. We could get into this particular company. And then when we find the decision maker, they're like, well, we have this real strong relationship with XYZ company who does promotional products. So we started doing things besides just the promotional products. So when it seems like there's going to be a door that's closed, we can stick our foot in and, kind of reopen. Some of the things that we do are, we've provided things for clients who've had 500 people at an event, and we've had, favors, so to speak, at each table. Well, okay, so we can't do that for a client, but we provide centerpieces, stage design, lobby design, to make a real cohesive event. We've gone into doing things with invitations or programs, thank you gifts for speakers, just trying to find more ways to service one client.
So you can be their event planner, pretty much. I mean, you provide them everything they need for the event, not just the traditional.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's a really good tactic, and I think you could copy that in a variety of areas. I mean, event planning is one. We know a lot of people that provide all kinds, you were saying, web design and web solutions, marketing solutions.
Well, I think it's a smart approach, because distributors need to be able to service clients in many different ways and to provide, solve many of their clients' marketing and promotional needs, not just with promotional products, but also, like Danielle is saying, with invitations, with post-event follow-up, things like these that many distributors don't really think about getting involved in. But you need those. You need to be able to offer those kind of solutions so that you can continue the conversation with clients, like Danielle said, like the caller said. You need to talk to different people within a client and have conversations that go past just one service. And I think that's a smart approach.
Yeah,
and sometimes when you do that, some of those doors that were initially closed, they reopen.
Absolutely.
Somebody who has a contact with a particular person they do this service through, well, that person moves on, and you've got the open door again.
Yeah, that's a very smart approach. All right, well, thanks very much for calling, Danielle, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All right, thanks.
Have a great day. All right, Andy, we've had in Trivos alone, we've had an earthquake in
just
the past.
Just Trivos.
Trivos has had an earthquake in the past month. Flooding. Many of us had trouble getting to work last week because of the flooding. We had the hurricane. What was her name?
Irene.
Irene came by and paid a visit.
What was her name?
How can you, any business size, provide a disaster recovery plan for these kinds of problems?
Well, it's not so much recovery and avoidance of disaster. It's more preparing in advance. So companies that have a plan in advance and put some steps in place that they know that they're going to follow when a disaster occurs, that helps them recover quicker. So let me give you a few steps that you can do now to plan for any kind of potential natural disaster. The first is to plan a communication strategy in advance, so you know exactly who you're going to contact, how you're going to do it. You know, if you don't have power in the office, then you know what email system you're going to use or how you're going to contact clients and suppliers and any of your vendors. So know who you're going to contact and the steps you're going to take to do it and exactly how you're going to do it and what you're going to say. You know, plan the content of that communication in advance so that you have as much done beforehand that when the disaster actually strikes, you can almost just press buttons and go, as opposed to suddenly trying to scramble to figure out what your plan is. So that's the biggest step. The other couple of steps are about knowing exactly how your suppliers are going to deal with a disaster. So sometimes disasters don't just strike you, but if you have orders with suppliers and they're in a different area, you have to know what their plan is. So the two steps there is know what your suppliers' plans are and also have your own supplier backup plan. So you know if an order is backed up because of a supplier that's in a sort of natural disaster zone, then what's your backup plan? Who are you going to go to? How can you quickly make some calls to fulfill the order?
All right, and we're going to put this up online at asicentral.com/radio for more information. And online, too, we have Joe Johnson. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Do you have a question?
Well, I had a quick comment about some of the things they were saying. One with the lady before is saying going in and companies having people that they are currently purchasing from. One thing they need to do in going in is supply, you know, new ideas to them and going in. Not to say that, you know, who you're using, you know, you should switch to me, but I got more ideas. I mean, if they're not going to totally switch, to get some of their business is better than none of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And also keeping in mind that same thing happened with your customers. Sometimes you get complacent waiting on them to call in to reorder things or order things. You should constantly, you know, send them ideas, new ideas, and kind of stimulate their brain on things and let them know that, you know, you still have them in mind and you're working toward them to help give them ideas more so than them always having to look up things to call, you know, and ask you to order. And that would kind of help to really build a relationship of some of those closed doors because you're not saying, hey, don't buy from them. So I got some new ideas if you're looking for new ideas.
I think that's a really good point. And I think, you know, just because you get a referral even or someone inside a company and you just go and say, oh, you know, Kathy told me to call you. I can sell you promo products. That's not enough.
Right.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe brings up an interesting point. You know, this is a creative business. And the distributors that are more creative with the ideas that they present and, you know, show clients creative ways to solve their marketing challenges, they're the ones that come out with deals. You know, this distributor that sits back and waits for the call to come on, you know, a few promotional products, that's not going to solve your, you know, your own business challenges and give you the financial cushion that we're talking about here today. You know, it's more about presenting ideas so that you can initiate the contact.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great point, Joe. Thanks so much for calling, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Kathy, are your sales conversations telling the right story? How do people know?
Well, they should be relatable to the customer, the person that you're trying to persuade to go from point A to point B.
Okay.
Okay. So your next sales conversation should include all of these elements. All the elements of a great story. Start with a relatable character, somebody they can relate to that sounds like them. Use an example that parallels the potential client. Easily and quickly set up the conflict or circumstance and then show how you resolve the conflict for that person and how you could do the same for this prospect. And then share the positive, tangible results, of course. If someone's response at the end of your conversation is, so what? Then you missed a great opportunity. Obviously, you're not telling the right story.
It's really about bringing great case studies that relate to
totally.
Their business.
Yeah, you should have a case study portfolio. You should have your case studies online. You should have them categorized by industry, by type of client.
Michelle's shaking her head.
Right.
She agrees.
Agree. I mean, if people can see somebody that's just like them that had a similar circumstance and you solved it for them, then they're going to want to work with you all that much more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put more advice online on how to tell the right, have the right types of sales conversations at asicentral.com/radio. Now it's time for Michelle Bell's favorite segment of the show, where our editors tell their favorite products of the week. And Michelle, I'm going to let you go first.
That's fabulous. Mine is from Minya, ASI71370. These are so adorable. They're, you know, cupcakes are very popular these days. Certainly in the editorial office, cupcakes are popular. These are cupcake-shaped bags. So you pull the bag out of the middle of the cupcake where the cherry is. And then when you're done with it, you put it back in the cupcake.
Oh,
it's
that's
very cute. Yeah, it's on our website.
Does it smell like cupcakes?
It should, though, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should. There's my idea.
All right. And as Michelle said, all these products, you can see them now at asicentral.com/radio. Joe, what's your favorite product of the week besides whatever beanie helmet you're going to wear later today?
The helmet beanie?
Show.
All right. So it comes packaged in this tin, and we it's a little Mini Cooper, and lever on the bottom. It's USB stick. Now, it's custom made, so any car manufacturer can get this built into their car.
That's awesome.
All the product information in there. So if someone's, you know, on the fence about buying it, you give them this. It has all the product information.
Go for a test drive and get a free USB.
And it could be set up with to launch a website for a special landing page to offer products and services for anyone who buys this. But it can also be done with any of your clients' products. So say they sell hand tools. You have it created in one of your hand tools. You know, give it to someone. They plug it into their computer. It launches a website.
Who's it from?
Well, Kathy, I'm glad you asked. It's from Oceantop USA, Inc. That's ASI 74816, oceantopusa.com. So
I
think it's a great little product.
I'm going to borrow that from you.
Okay.
Andy Cohn, what's your favorite
borrow
product of the week?
Steal.
Yeah, steal and never.
Yeah.
Never
like I go back. I say, what happened to that car?
As I said earlier, mine is perfect for the healthcare market. It is a dosage alarm, and it adheres directly to the top of any medicine bottle. Companies can put their logos on it, and it's like a countdown clock, 24-hour countdown clock that it goes off and reminds people when to take their next pill. So, Joe, you might need this. It's available from Dose Alert, and that's ASI 77811. Great new idea for the healthcare market that I know many distributors are trying to target.
All right, Kathy, you could put your vitamins in there.
I could. Mine is, with all this rain and everything, it's from Neat Feet, ASI 73525. And they're really cute. They're called Wet Wellies, and they're pretty much rain galoshes. Galoshes, Joe. But they're ladies.
They're pretty much rain galoshes, or
they are?
They are. Okay. Yeah, they're pretty much. They're ladies' rain boots, and they're really, really cute. You can get four color, like, awesome graphics on them. And I thought they would be great for college markets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, retail
They'd
establishments.
They'd be great for me. I'd like
some
rain galoshes.
They would. Oh, well, maybe I'll see if I could hook
Bright
you
red.
Up. Yeah.
All right. All these products can be found on asicentral.com/radio. Did I say that right? Yes, I did. All right. Joe, we're going to end with you. There's there's some old school jobs that are back in vogue. I know the job market's pretty tight right now, so maybe some folks would be interested to hear what they are.
I thought I was going to rant, but yeah, let's talk about five markets. One of them, milkmen. Anyone here old enough to have milk delivered to their house?
Yes, in Nebraska.
I think they
still do in Nebraska.
Well, you know, it had its heyday, and then more women started to go into the workforce, and they went there to accept the milk, to put it away in the refrigerator. Plus, large, you know, companies, milk companies, were kind of taking over, putting everything in the grocery stores. Well, it's coming back now. People want to support local economy, local businesses and stuff. So the milkman is back, and how they're fixing the problem with is someone there to get the milk in the morning, they're putting it in insulated coolers. So there's an opportunity for people in our industry. Chimney sweeps. Michelle looks at me, thinks that's an old job, but we have a fireplace,
well,
and we get a sweep.
We get our chimney sweeps.
Numbers were down. Numbers were down. Well, chimney sweeps.
I don't use my chimney.
Chimney sweeps did what a lot of people were telling them in this industry to do, is diversify their product offering and their service offering. They're just not doing the wood fireplaces. They're doing the pellet stoves. Mm-hmm. They're also cleaning, you know, furnaces, ductwork. You know, if you have the gas logs, they'll come and look at that to do the inspection. So chimney sweeps are on the uptick. Another one we have here is cloth diaper service, and they say that that's on the comeback because people are thinking about the environment. And they say that these you know, disposable diapers really aren't that disposable because they take up to 500 years to decompose in a landfill.
I mean, who's really doing that, though? Come on.
Those hippie types.
No, people are. It's just
those Earth children.
What people are doing that?
Something that we've used for a while, the butcher, the local butcher shop. We have a little small grocery right around the corner from us, and the guy will cut any cut of meat that you want. So that's on the uptick. And the barber shop, they're saying that, you know, men want that good old traditional barbershop. I go to a barbershop. I don't have to make an appointment.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I don't have to.
Andy, you went to a great barber on our council road trip in L.A.
Burl the barber.
We have a video. Where can we find that video?
I don't know.
No, I don't think we posted a video. We have a picture.
I don't think that video is online.
But some of these things that were going around, you know, and the problem with the barbers was, is that a lot of men stopped getting their license.
The metrosexuals.
No, a lot of men stopped getting their license because they had to take, in some states, you have to take the whole cosmetology course.
Oh.
And they don't care to do anything but cut men's hair.
Exactly.
So they weren't going to do that. But
don't you think
it's coming
like
back
a lot with the guys being metrosexuals these days and like going to beauty salons?
Yeah, Jerseylicious, no, they're going to create a barbershop like that.
Right.
The Pampers.
Right.
Raise your hair if you just go to a barber. Raise your hand if you go to a salon. Oh, God.
All right.
I'm looking at one.
Vinny Driscoll. Well, he's got long hair.
He's got long, luscious locks.
Beautiful cloth.
Hey, my barber trims my
I'm so sorry, but we are out of time.
Nose hairs.
Sorry to have to cut you off about your nose hairs. We're out of time today, but we have a bonus show for you tomorrow. Same time, same place, 10:30 in the morning. You can check us out and check out our ASI virtual trade show tomorrow, the biggest of the year. Have a great week, everyone.